So what do I preach on this morning? That's a good question. That's a question I asked myself Friday morning at about 11 o'clock, and I was playing soccer with the Rainbow Beach kids up in Gympie, and I got a phone call from Karen saying, I've got some news. Have you heard the news about John? I says, what's the news? Well, he's fallen out of a tree, broken his elbow, cut his finger off, and he's been rushed to Nambour Hospital. And he wants you to call him. I think he wants you to preach on Sunday. I don't know about you, but the first thing that went through my mind was fear. Seriously, how bad was he hurt? That was the first response. Then when I spoke to him on the phone and he was actually laughing, that relieved the fear. But then he says, look, can you preach for me on Sunday? It's not putting you under too much pressure, is it? And I says, oh, look, I think I can manage. But the second response was fear. What am I going to preach on? What am I going to talk about? So I thought it'd be a good thing to maybe get my Bible out when I got home and try and find something to preach on. And it struck me that the response to both of those situations was fear. And I found some verses that helped me overcome some fear and stuff that I should have probably known anyway. But I thought the best sermons you preach are ones that you preach to yourself. So I'm preaching to you, to myself this morning and to you about fear. And just to add into the mix there, I knew that I had to prepare the sermon Friday night because I had arranged to go to the fishing group, which was great yesterday. So the pressure was I had a few hours to prepare something on a Friday night. And my thought was I need to be thinking about overcoming fear of doing things and stuff like that. And in amongst that, I got a phone call in relation to Trevor and his situation, and I phoned him. So once again, my response was fear. How bad is that? You know, what's going on? So my message to you this morning is about fear and overcoming fear. You know, we can be afraid of many things in our lives, can't we? Fear of failure, fear of the unknown, fear of public speaking. I could swap this morning with anyone. If anyone wants to have a go, feel free to come and have a track. Fear of sickness. We hear a phone call, someone's in hospital, been rushed to hospital. The first thing that happens for me is fear. How bad is that going to be? Fear of the unknown. And we live in a world, and as Bruce was sharing in that Billy Graham book, the unknown in our world, the things that are going on in our world, for a lot of us, are fearful things. You know, fear, we live in a world where many people are paralyzed by fear. They can't do things because they're too afraid. They can't achieve things that they might want to achieve because they're afraid to step out and do something. Fear is a powerful thing. And the question that I'm going to ask you this morning is, what are your fears today? Now, you know, if you teach Sunday school and kids in Sunday school are pretty clever because they reckon there are two answers. If you say God or Jesus, you'll be right every time. And mostly they are. So I could say to you this morning, what are your fears? And say, well, I don't have fears. I've got faith. You know, you could say that to me. And that's like that pat answer. But I'm going to say to you this morning, I believe that every one of us, and me included, have fears. Yeah? Hands up if you don't have a fear. I think we all do. And sometimes we don't like to share what they are because some of us, you know, are a little bit embarrassed or a little bit whatever about it. But I'm going to say to you, we all have fears about something. And even this morning, there are some of us maybe that are fearful of something that's going on or is going to happen in the future or something that's happening around us. You know, comedian Jerry Seinfeld said this, according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking, and I could agree with that. Number two is death. So if death is number two, does that seem right to you? Number one is public speaking. Number two is death. That means the average person, if you have to go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than doing the eulogy. So, I don't know. I could sort of, yeah, I can relate to that. Today's message I've called Facing the Fear of the Future. Facing the Fear of Things to Come. Or I could have called it the sermon Facing Your Worries About the Future. Because I don't know about you, but most of my worry, my fears are grounded in, what am I going to preach on Sunday? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do this afternoon? Most of my fears are about what's going to happen. Can you relate to that? Most of my fears are grounded in stuff that hasn't already happened yet. Yeah? And may never happen. So I found a really great piece of scripture, and I want you to turn to it if you can relate to what I'm talking about. Matthew 6, 25 to 33. Matthew 6, 25 to 33. It's well known to a lot of us, the words of Jesus. But I think he's got a lot to tell us this morning about fear of the future. Fear of worrying about the future, facing the worries of the future. Matthew 6, 25, 33. the words of Jesus. And I'm reading from verse 25. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." There's the message. I could go home right now. The words of Jesus when we're fearful of the future. Three times in that little block of scripture, Jesus says, "Do not worry." Now, if he says it three times in those few verses, do you think he's trying to make a point? Do not worry. Do not worry. If he says it three times, he's trying to emphasize something. You see, there's a difference about being concerned about the future and making preparations and precautions for things that are going to happen in the future and being worried about the future. The example is this. If we're going away on holidays, we lock the house, yeah? You lock the door, you lock the windows, you make sure everything's in order, you maybe even ask your neighbour to clear the mail and keep an eye on your house, yeah? That's not really worry, that's just, you know, taking precautions and putting things in place. But then when you're away on holidays, if you're constantly worried about the house, that it's going to burn down, or that someone's going to break in, or broken into, or an earthquake's going to happen and it's going to swallow up your house, if that's all you're thinking about while you're on holidays and you've taken all the precaution, that's worry. There's a difference between being prepared and taking precautions and worrying. You know the word worry, do you know where it comes from? It's from an old German word, and that word means to strangle. Or to crunch up, or to squeeze the life out of. And that's exactly what worry does. It puts a strangle, an emotional strangulation on you that might cause more mental and physical afflictions than any other single cause. And worry might be the sin that Christians commit more frequently than any other. If you think of it that way, as Christians, and Jesus has told us, do not worry. How many times do we worry? Yeah? Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" You see, people in Jesus' day were worried about the basic necessities. They were worried about where their next meal was going to come from, where their food was going to come from, where their drink was going to come from, where their clothes were going to come from. They were common worries for those people. Today we worry about many other things though, don't we? Things such as sicknesses like cancer, terrorism, losing our jobs, financial security, our children's safety. But Jesus' words apply to our worries as well. Those worries that are all common for each one of us. Notice that this verse begins with the word "therefore." And many of you have heard this, and I know it's something that we've heard many times. When you come to the word "therefore" in the Bible, what do you got to ask yourself? What's it there for? What's it there for? And usually what's it there for, it means go back to the verse before and see what he was talking about. So if you backtrack from there, what you'll find, what's it there for? If you go back to the previous verse, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Jesus declares that a believer's only Lord and Master is to be God. Nothing else. When the Bible says that God is our Lord, it means that He controls our lives, not us. When you worry, you stop trusting God and start trusting you. Think about it. When you start to worry, you start trusting your own abilities, your own capacities, and not rely on God. You see, what we start to do is when we start to worry, we take our focus off God as being our Lord and Master and put our focus on something else. When the Bible says that God is Lord and Master, it tells us that He controls our lives, not us. When you worry, you stop trusting God and start trying to take control of your own situation and your own life. But God's word promises in Philippians 4:19, God will meet all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. God will provide all of your needs according to His, not my riches, to His rich, according to His riches in Christ Jesus. You see, sometimes we forget, don't we? In the heat of the moment, when we get that phone call, when something goes belly up, we forget that God is in control of our lives and not us. But He's also in control of the entire universe. The psalmist declared, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, in the world, and all who live in it." And Daniel said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning." If God can handle every single thing in this world, He can handle everything in your life. If God can control everything that's happening in the world around us and keep everything in harmony, He can control and govern the things in our lives. You know, worry is the opposite of contentment, isn't it? If you're worried, you're not content. If you're content, you're not worried. The Apostle Paul said this. If there was one person in the Bible, I suppose, that had plenty of things to worry about, it would have been Paul, I'd reckon. If I was chained up in a prison cell for most of my time, I'd be thinking, hey, there's plenty of things I could be worrying about. You know, who fed the cat this week? There would be a lot of things that could be going through his mind that he could worry about. And yet he says this, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Man, I love Philippians. It's called Paul's joyful letter. It's a letter that he wrote when he was in the worst of his times, and yet he could write words like that. "I can do everything through Him who strengthens me." A Christian's contentment is found in God and God only, not your circumstance. It doesn't matter what we have or what we don't have in this life. Our contentment is found in God and nowhere else. It's as if Jesus says in these verses, "Have you forgotten who your Father is? Have you forgotten that you've got a Father in heaven? If He feeds the birds of the air and clothes the flowers of the field, will He not provide for you? God isn't their Father, He's your Father. He cares much more, much, much more about you than He cares for the birds and for the flowers. Of course He will provide for you." Verse 27 says, "Who by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" You know, we live in a culture, and I can tell you, I went with the school this week with some year 10 kids up to the gym up here, and somehow I got sucked into exercising for an hour with like two lots of them, and I nearly killed myself. But I'm going to say to you, people exercise every day, and that's good for you. I'm not knocking exercise, just don't overdo it. We exercise, we eat carefully, we put vitamins. I take vitamins. Anyone else take vitamins? I take vitamins of the morning and supplements and all these things that are going to help me, you know, be more healthy. We get regular physical checkups, go to the doctor, countless other things in the hope of adding a few years to our lives. You know, those habits can improve the quality and productivity of our lives, but they're not going to force God into extending our lifespan. God knows how many years we're here for. We can make the best of them and we can do the best, and we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to be, you know, looking after ourselves and being temples of the Holy Spirit and doing all those good things for ourselves. But that's not going to make us live any longer. God is in control of how long we have to live. And that's what Jesus is saying. By worrying about the future, worrying about how long we're going to live or how many, it's not going to add to us. It's not going to add anything to the span of our life. You know, you can worry yourself to death. You might have heard that saying, you can worry yourself to death, but not to life. Dr. Charles Mayo of the famous Mayo Clinic in America, he wrote this: worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. I've never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot of who have died of worry. You can worry yourself to death, not to life. What worry reveals about you. And once again, I'm preaching to myself, okay? If this means something to you or you get offended, well, hey, just say he was talking to himself this morning, not to me. Worry reveals about you. Worry reveals that you have a defective understanding of God, that we don't know God as well as what we should. Worry reveals that you do not fully trust God's promises, only trust some of the promises. Worry reveals that you are mastered by your circumstances, not the Lord of heaven and earth. Worry reveals that you believe that God can save you from sin, take you to heaven, and keep you forever. So how can you not believe that God will take care of the rest of your days on earth? If we believe that we are saved, that God has a place for us in heaven, can we not understand and believe that he's going to look after us for our time here? In verses 31 and 32 it says this: so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus says that when we worry, we are no different from unbelievers. We're no different from people who don't know the Lord when we worry. They don't have a heavenly Father, so they have reason to worry. We have no excuse, though, for worrying. We know we have a Father who loves us and wants the very best for each one of us. But sometimes we act too much like unbelievers. We think like the world, crave like the world, and we worry like the world. Because a mind that is not centered on God is a mind that has cause to worry. God expects more of us. God expects us to be different from people in the world. He expects our focus to be on Him, not our situation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Instead of worrying about the future, Jesus says this: seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, that's your worries, the things you're worried about, will be given to you as well. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Our first concern should be to what? To seek first the kingdom of God. To seek God first and not our circumstance. To seek God's kingdom. To seek to let God rule in our life. To seek God's righteousness. To seek to do what is doing right according to God. Seek those things first, and everything else will be added to us. Jesus says in verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Once again, Jesus isn't saying don't plan for the future. He's saying don't worry about the future. And that's a major difference. We can plan for our futures and make plans, but not worry about what the future holds. Don't worry about how you're going to handle the problems of tomorrow. Focus on the problems of today. There's enough trouble in each day without adding up the distress to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You see, I might find out sometime this year that I've got cancer. It does me no good to worry. It does me no good to worry. How will I ever handle that? God will give me the strength to face it if ever that happens. You know, one of the common things that people ask me recently is this: If I'm worried about the future of chaplaincy with the High Court challenge that's coming up, my response is, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus promises this, and this is probably my favorite verse in Scripture. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God promises His grace for tomorrow, for every day. And this is the kicker though. He doesn't give us grace for tomorrow today. He gives us grace for today. And tomorrow, He will give us grace for that day. It's a bit like the old song, and one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking for you, from you. One day at a time. Grace for one day at a time. And we will have grace for tomorrow, if tomorrow comes. I'm going to say to you this morning that whatever your fear is, let it be turned to faith. And if you can worry, if you've got the energy and the ability to worry, you can turn your worry into prayer. And it's quite simply by handing it over and say, Lord, help me with this. I can't do this by myself. Lord, I don't know what to speak about on Sunday. Show me what it is. And He says to me, my grace, He says to you, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. That tells me that every one of my weaknesses are God's strengths. Every one of your weaknesses and your frailties are God's strengths. And we can source that strength when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And those things that we worry about will be added unto us. I'm going to say to you this morning, don't let the fear of tomorrow stop you from living today. Don't let the fear of what you can't do stop you from living and being the person God wants you to be today. Don't let the fear of you not having the ability to do something stop you from going forward and letting God give you the ability for today. Don't let fear of the future lock you in to being, stop you from being the person God wants you to be today. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. And Lord, I'm going to confess my sin of fear. The fear that takes me to worry. And I know, Lord, that maybe there are other people too that would like to confess that to you this morning. Things that we worry about that we shouldn't. Things that are going to happen to us that we have no control over. We give those things to you this morning. I pray for each fear in this room, whatever it might be, that might be translated and converted to faith. I thank you that your word tells us that perfect love drives out all fear. I pray for that this morning, that your love and your grace would drive out any fear in any heart this morning, and that we would know that your grace is sufficient, that your strength is made perfect in our weaknesses and in our hardships and in our trials, and that when we are weak, we are strong in you. I pray for each one of us here today, whatever we might think we have facing in the future, whether it be sickness or financial issues or family breakdowns or whatever it may be, that you would give us the grace to live one day at a time and to think about the things of today and to focus on you today and to seek you first today and your righteousness, and those things that we worry about will be added to us. Be with us this day as we go out, and may we go knowing that your grace is sufficient in every situation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.